Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Fair warning today, folks. We have a show that is going to contain some adult subject matter. So we are going to try to do this without getting graphic in any way, but certainly there are going to be some things that people may be sensitive to, so take that into consideration before you continue to listen. I'm talking, of course, about the big controversy now surrounding Ric Flair and the so-called plane ride from hell way back in 2002. And what may or may not have went on there relative to a woman's claim of sexual abuse against Ric Flair. Now, the reason this has come up is because Dark Side of the Ring, which for the benefit of people who do not know, is a show that delves into the darker workings of professional wrestling, has done many, many episodes, ran an actual documentary on this so-called plane ride from hell. And in it, they had the woman describe what happened to her. I'm going to describe it, and I'm going to try to be careful. But basically, she said that Ric Flair, at some point in this plane ride, probably inebriated, was naked and flaunting himself around the plane. At some point, she alleges he came back into the area she was at and refused to let her leave, and went so far as to not just expose himself to her, but to place her hand on his genitals against her will. This was basically the subject of this plane ride from hell in a large percentage of it. And Tommy Dreamer got mixed up in it. Tommy Dreamer was asked about this, and Tommy Dreamer said that he remembers Ric Flair actually getting naked. He does not remember Ric Flair going back into the kitchen area or the area of the plane, the back part of the plane. And he certainly does not think that Ric Flair ever sexually harassed a stewardess on that flight, nor sexually abused her. And his rationale is that he knows Ric Flair. He doesn't think Ric Flair would do that. For saying that, Tommy Dreamer was indefinitely suspended from Impact Wrestling. There was a statement issued saying what he said does not go along with their values, and he was asked to remove himself from his offices immediately. And there is no return date or length of suspension. It's an indefinite suspension. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit deeper because Dreamer released a statement. We're going to wait a little bit later to talk about his statement. But first, I want to talk about these allegations from 2002. Very first thing I want to say is this. Under no circumstances do I, and I'm sure I speak for my panel, in any way condone or support any form of sexual harassment or sexual abuse. I don't know a human being that does. And if they do, there must be something mentally wrong with them. Absolutely nobody condones it. Having said that, we do live in the United States of America, which means you are innocent until you're proven guilty. You are not guilty by association. You're innocent until proven guilty. Many, many people take that phrase and assume, oh, that's protection for guilty people. No, that's protection for innocent people. And on top of that, we also have to understand that you can have it both ways. You can believe their story seriously and still give the implication of innocence until proof is offered. Let me give you an example. Right now, there's a missing girl from New York named Gabby Pettit. She went on a cross-country trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. And they hit some national parks, and they were putting it up on YouTube, chronicling it. Well, they were supposed to stay out until, I guess, somewhere in October, where they were going to be in Portland, Oregon, at her friend's for Halloween. Brian Laundrie returned home September 1st in her van, registered to her. He never informed her parents he was home. He just went home. 10 days later, when her parents realized her van was parked out in front of his house, they called the police. Now, the police are taking this very seriously. They understand she's missing. And they understand he's the last guy to see her. He's not talking. He's lawyered up, and he's taking the fifth. And every single police officer who is being asked, why aren't you tailing him? Why aren't you following every move he makes? Why don't you take him into custody? Has said the same thing. There's no crime. What's the crime? We have to be able to prove it. We can't prove anything. Well, this is the same situation, folks. She can say whatever she wants to say, and she may be telling the truth. But in this country, you have to be able to prove you're telling the truth. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a way to do that one way or the other. So when those situations happen, and the police do not press charges, it's not because they don't believe you. It's because there's no way to really prove it. It's he said, she said. Now, Ric Flair has said this never happened. He has steadfastly said this since 2002, late 2002, when these charges, I guess, first surfaced. Steadfastly said never happened. I don't know if he's telling the truth. Neither does Impact Wrestling. Neither does Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer was asked his opinion. And he gave his opinion. He said, I've known Ric Flair to get wild and crazy. I remember he did strip down on that flight. I remember him walking up and down the aisles. I don't remember him going into any area backstage, and I sure as heck don't remember any stewardess complaining that something bad happened to her. And I don't think Ric Flair would do that. For this, he is suspended. He's basically fired. He's fired because he gave his opinion. He didn't say, I know this to be a fact. He said, this is my opinion. Have you ever watched news broadcast where a serial killer is caught, and he lives next door to some people, and they say, did you know he was a serial killer? And of course, they're like, well, this seemed like a nice guy to me. Didn't seem like the type of guy to do anything like that. You don't lose your job over that. Your boss doesn't say, oh my God, you said that serial killer. You didn't think he was capable of something like that. He seemed like a nice guy. He helped you fix your roof. How dare you say that? You're fired. That doesn't happen. Because that's your opinion. That's what you know of the person. If we are going to go by this standard, then there has to be a ton of people in jail. you're not even going to be able to listen to music anymore, because I can give you stories of David Bowie, who apparently passed around a 13-year-old groupie to his wife, to Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. You got David Lee Roth saying he slept with tens of thousands of women, 90% of them are under 17. Why aren't they in jail? All the Van Halen members must have known about it. How come they're not fired? Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to dig in a little bit to the wrestling world and what does happen backstage, and I'll tell you why I know and how I know what happens sometimes at some wrestling federations. I'm going to tell you that this is firsthand information given to me by someone I ended up being very close to for a long portion of my life, that I met at a wrestling show that turned out to be, I guess, what professional wrestlers at the time called a ring rat. And that was the term they gave. Trust me. And it was basically code for women who were willing to sleep with wrestlers, or hung around the wrestlers looking to sleep with them. I'll delve into a little bit of some of the things she told me firsthand. Some of it's not good. But we're dealing with the Ric Flair case right now. And if you're going to tell me that Ric Flair, in front of a plane load of people, sexually harassed a stewardess, and not one single person on that plane, not one, saw it, or that she didn't report it immediately to whoever was in charge of booking that plane, or she did not tell the pilot, or she did not go into the area where the wrestlers are and start screaming and yelling and hollering. Okay, maybe she was embarrassed. Maybe she was upset. Maybe she was whatever. I get it. But this was 2002. We're coming up on 20 years. And to be fired for an opinion you gave about someone you know and what you think they may be capable of or not capable of 20 years ago is absurd. And Impact Wrestling should be ashamed of themselves because they are cowards. Complete and utter fall to my knees, bow to the mob, kneel for the national anthem, cowards. Because their decision was not based on what they believe and what they don't believe. Their decision was based on, we don't want any trouble. Just bow to the mob, genuflect, genuflect. I want you all that's listening to me to understand something, and I don't care who you voted for. If we go by this standard, Joe Biden can't be the president. Because there is a woman who made very credible allegations that she was grabbed and he inserted his finger in her in public, against her will, by pinning her to a wall. The very same day it happened, she wrote her best friend and she wrote her mother. Her mother actually contacted where she was working, where Joe Biden was a senator at the time, and screamed and yelled and hollered. It didn't take 20 years. It took 20 minutes for this girl to talk to her best friend about it and say what happened, say what happened to her mom, and have her mom react. How come he's still the president then? How come the people who say, oh, he wouldn't do that, how come you're not fired? How come you're not suspended from your job? How come every news person who says, we don't know if these allegations are credible, how come you're not fired? You're giving your opinion. That's what Tommy Dreamer did. He gave his opinion. So this is a double standard, and it's a horrible one. And already it's costing Ric Flair because they pulled his car cash commercials. There's a very good chance Tony Khan, who was at the verge of signing him, will now not do that. He was going to be doing some kind of other business deals and things. Most of them are probably going to be on hold now. And all because we have been conditioned in this country that if someone comes forward at any time, regardless to whether they have a ulterior motive or not, and claims they were abused, you have to rush to judgment. You have to assume they're guilty until they can prove they're innocent. That's exactly ass backwards. Tommy Dreamer did the right thing. He said, I don't think he would do it, and I don't see any proof that he did it. That's correct. That's correct. What Tommy Dreamer said was correct. And he's suspended for being correct. It's absurd.
Right. And furthermore, I mean, look, everybody, what's the famous saying? Opinions are like asses. Everybody has one, right?
Right.
But that was his opinion. You know, that was his opinion. And at the time this took place, he was still married to Charlotte's mother. And she didn't say a word about it. Now, maybe she didn't know, but she didn't say a word about it. And obviously she didn't think anything was wrong. And look, there's another story that was brought out in the ESPN documentary that was done about him, coming out of a bathroom in this was before this. This was maybe in the early 90s, whatever, when he was still in WCW at the time. And he came out with nothing on but his robe. And very well, I don't want to get too graphic with it, but it was aroused, let's say. So,
right.
This isn't, I mean, part of the thing fits with what he's done before, but if he's saying it didn't happen, it's like what happened with Enzo. Enzo continually said that what the lady said that he did, other than the drugs, being in the room and everything else, that what she said that he did didn't happen, right?
Right, but it goes even deeper than that, because take a look at this. We have three cases in wrestling that we know of right now. This one, we don't know what happened. Enzo, it's proven she lied. Now, Matt Riddle was accused of very similar things, worse, really. And I can't remember how many people stuck up for Matt Riddle and said, I don't think so, man. He was dating her. They were definitely having an affair. She was all over the place, backstage and stuff. There's no freaking way. They didn't get fired. They didn't get suspended. The people who stuck up for Matt Riddle, including some women who stuck up for Matt Riddle, they didn't get suspended. Oh, and guess what? As it turns out, she drops her case and, and maybe it's probably not even true. Did Matt Riddle get fired? Did everybody who stuck up for Matt Riddle get fired? No, they didn't. This is absurd. What's happening right now is absurd. I'm going to tell you a little bit more. The woman's name is Heidi Doyle. And according to her arrest record, Heidi Doyle turned herself in at a San Diego County Sheriff's Department station in Ensenada and faced charges of commercial burglary for $80,000 worth of diamonds, also booked into jail on charges of identity theft and writing bad checks. That doesn't mean this didn't happen to her. Let me say that again very clearly so people don't set up on me. That doesn't mean this didn't happen to her. But it gives us a look into why she may have a vested interest in trying to make this story a lot worse than it is. Financial remuneration. Automatically assume, a stewardess said this, it's true. It's definitely true, and anybody that says it isn't true is condoning sexual abuse. So that means Tommy Dreamer is condoning sexual abuse. That means everybody else is condoning sexual abuse. That doesn't mean that at all. What planet do you live on? Anyone who thinks that that's the way it should be, ask yourself this question. If tomorrow a woman just came out and said, hey, this person did something to me, and you didn't, should we just assume you're guilty? Should we just say, okay, well, you're a scumbag. And anybody that sticks up for you, anybody that voices any positive things about you, saying, I really don't think they'd do that. Oh, no, you're guilty too then. You're guilty by association. You got to go. The only acceptable answer to this question is, he did it, he's guilty. Anything else, you're condoning it. That's not how this country works. That's how the Salem witch trials worked. Now, was Ric Flair known to be rowdy and crazy and a drunk? Absolutely. Do I believe he got naked on that plane and was strutting around? Absolutely. Do I believe he might have even went back there where there was a stewardess and a cook or something? He very well may have. Do I believe she might have seen him prancing around naked? Yep, probably did. Do I believe she didn't want to see it and it was offensive to her? Yeah, it could have been. Do I believe he trapped her there and refused to have her leave and put her hand on his genitals? I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. Because I really don't think that's what you want to do if you want to keep your genitals in one piece and a woman is trying to get away from you. If he did, then it's time to own up and it's time to set the record straight. But regardless of whether Ric Flair is guilty or he is not, has no bearing whatsoever on Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer gave his opinion. It was just an opinion. He didn't say, yeah, it happened, but you know what? So what? It's just good, clean fun. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, yeah, I know it happened. She was mortified and she was upset, but yeah, you know, boys will be boys. He didn't say that. He said, I don't think it happened. I was there, and I don't believe it happened. I don't believe Ric Flair would do that. Would he get naked? Yeah. He did it all the time. Would he flaunt himself around? Yes, he did it all the time. Would he go so far as to trap a girl somewhere and force her to touch him? No, I don't think so. That's what Tommy Dreamer said. And for that, Tommy Dreamer is unemployed. Todd, this is going way too far.
I hear you there, like you said. I remember back to 2015 when Hulk Hogan got indefinitely suspended from the WWE for the adult movie tape he said when he said the N-word, and everybody gave their opinion on what happened as well.
That's right. Everybody gave their opinion on that, and I got news. Every single person that gave their opinion was not fired if they said, well, I think that maybe that doesn't sound like Hulk Hogan to me. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Tommy Dreamer released a statement. And I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm basically going to tell you that he genuflected as well and said, if anything I said hurt or offended anyone, it was never my intention. I'm very, very sorry. I realize I didn't take this as seriously possibly as I should have. And blah, 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 whatever I have to say. I was really hoping that Tommy Dreamer would come out and say, I gave my opinion when I was asked for it. I don't think Ric Flair is capable of this. Could I be wrong? Yes. Could I be right? Yes. Either way, I wasn't asked as a witness to a crime. I was asked to give my opinion, and I did. And if we live in a country now where my opinion causes me to lose my job, then we're all in trouble. That's what I wanted him to say. Instead, he genuflected in front of the mob and said, I'm so sorry. Never happen again. I'll just say whatever you want me to say. Just tell me what to say. See, this is what we live in a country now where you have to be told what to say. What is the actual acceptable thing to say in this situation? I'll say that. That's ludicrous. It's ludicrous and it's very upsetting. So what do we do now? Well, I don't know. Ric Flair is in a lot of trouble over something that happened 20 years ago, if it happened. And Ric Flair is steadfastly saying it didn't happen. Now, is his word any better than hers? No, but her word's not any better than his either. So either present me with proof that it happened or shut up. If you can bring me forth a wrestler who says, I witnessed it, I saw it. If you can bring me forth, I'm sure she wasn't in that kitchen area or wherever it was alone. If you can bring me forth one person who says, I physically witnessed this happen, then you've got my attention. Still doesn't have anything to do with Tommy Dreamer, but you've got my attention. Until then, there's no crime. Just like the police who are searching for Gabby Petito right now are saying, there's no crime. You have to prove it. What would you have them do with Ric Flair at this point? Would you have them say, it's more likely than not that you did it because you're a drunk and you like to get wild and your reputation is you're a womanizer. So therefore, just based on your reputation, you're guilty. Okay, well then I could come back and say, this is a woman who stole $80,000 worth of diamonds, wrote fraudulent checks, and apparently stole someone's identity. So based on that, she could be a liar. We don't do that in this country. We wait for evidence. But really the greater story here, folks, is my disgust for Impact Wrestling and what they did to Tommy Dreamer, because this is absolutely unacceptable. Impact Wrestling's statement should have been very short. Tommy Dreamer was asked his opinion and he gave it, as every one of us are free to do in this country. That's it. That's it. But much like everyone, you caved to the mob, didn't you, Impact Wrestling? You caved to the mob. I do the same thing that I always do in these situations. When you cave to the mob, you're dead to me. I have no interest in Impact Wrestling anymore. I won't be reporting on it on this show unless something major happens, like a top star drops dead or robs a bank. But the bottom line of the situation is no more Impact Wrestling. If you want to toe that sort of a line, go ahead and toe it. If you want to fire people for giving their opinion when they're asked, go ahead and fire them. You're a company that you can do what you want, but guess what? I can do what I want to. And I don't want to give you any more of my attention if that's your attitude. And I know what people are going to say. Well, they're trying to make sure they understand that they take these allegations seriously. Ric Flair don't work for them. Ric Flair don't work for them. If they wanted to temporarily suspend Ric Flair, I might understand that. This is Tommy Dreamer. This is a man who has nothing to do with it. This would be the equivalent of a news organization stopping you on the street and saying, do you think Joe Biden really won the election? And you say, you know, I don't know about that because I've seen some things that looks a little strange, so I have to say I'm not sure. And then you go to work and they say, you're fired. We saw you on the news and you said something we disagree with, so therefore you're fired. You want to live in that country? I don't. That's communist China. That's the USSR, okay? I don't want to live there. I'm not sure what Tommy Dreamer can do about this. I mean, they're free to hire and fire who they want. They're free to suspend who they want. But I was disappointed that Tommy Dreamer didn't take a better stand. I really was, Mike. I was hoping he would stand up for himself and say, I never one time said it didn't happen. I gave my opinion, and that's all I gave. Instead, it looks like he caved.
Yeah, it does look like he caved. And frankly, I mean, look, I would have expected more from him, being from the past he came from, being that he at one point was running his own company, and I don't think he would have did this to somebody in his own company that did said the same thing. But apparently, like we said, apparently you're not allowed to have your own opinions, at least not in Impact, you know. Now, you know, could he be hired on someplace else? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, will this follow him? Who knows? I mean, he might very well have an in with the WWE because Paul is still there. But again, who knows? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen now. That's the other side of this. Is this incident going to follow him if he wants to get hired someplace else?
Well, you know what? That's a very, very good question. And the answer to that is probably yes. Now, I said I wasn't going to read his thing verbatim, but you know what? I am going to, because it's important, because I know people are going to say he didn't genuflect. He didn't. So here we go. It says, regarding my comments made on Dark Side of the Ring, it was never my intention to offend, hurt, or victim shame anyone. I understand that my comments were insensitive and could trigger emotions in someone's own personal past. I do not condone sexual misconduct of any kind. I apologize to anyone I offended. From the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry. Okay, well, here's the thing then. I want Bruce Willis to apologize for playing a rapist in a movie. Because anyone who watched that movie could potentially have a flashback. I want Randy Orton to apologize for setting Bray Wyatt on fire, because anyone who was a burn victim of any kind or knew someone who was a burn victim could have flashbacks and could be offended by it. Shall I go on? I could go on all damn day. What Tommy Dreamer is basically saying is, I related a story saying I didn't think Ric Flair did this, and that might trigger a flashback in someone that it really did happen to. What? What the hell are you talking about? That would be, that's absurd. That's just absurd. Then you can't say anything. I'm sitting on this show saying Matt Riddle was found, he wasn't found innocent. The charges were dropped on Matt Riddle of forcing some girl to give him oral sex. And, oh, there was someone who was forced to give oral sex, and they've been very offended. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Then you can't watch the news, I guess. You can't watch anything. You can't watch CSI. You can't watch anything. You can't listen to any rap music, because what happens if, oh, well, my brother was shot by somebody? Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. Then I guess you have to live in a cave. I'm tired of this. It's absurd. We have no way of knowing what Ric Flair did, and it was 20 years ago. So whatever happened, it's done, it's finished, it's over. The time to have struck with this is the year it happened. Not after you've been to jail, not after you've passed bad checks, not after you forged someone's identity, not after you stole $80,000 worth of diamonds and then was offered big money by a show to say you were abused. And I'm not apologizing for that. Because you did do that. Even if you really were. You still did that. And I'm not sticking up for Ric Flair. I don't know. I don't know what Ric Flair did. I do know that if he's running around naked, I mean, there are people who streak and they don't necessarily lose their job. There's people who don't want to see that. But what did you expect when you take the job of a stewardess on a flight with a bunch of drunken wrestlers and, oh, well, I heard a bad word. I heard a bad word and it offended me because it gave me a flashback of someone who used to call me a bad name. It triggered me. Well, I don't know what to tell you then. Most women I know in that situation would say, basically, well, I'm never going to take that job again. These guys are idiots. These guys are lunatics. This guy's a pervert. You know, I'm glad to have gotten out of there. Because the bottom line is, I do not believe that a man that inebriatedly drunk and naked backed a girl into a corner and forced her against her will to to touch him. I find that very difficult to believe. If it happened, then he needs, obviously, to pay the price for it. This is what I said with Matt Riddle. This is what I said with everyone. And I don't even like Matt Riddle. And I've made my feelings very clear about Matt Riddle. I think he's a jerk. He's a loudmouth, and he's a jerk. Bottom line is, doesn't mean he's guilty. And I said, we have to wait and see, don't we? He may have well have done this, but he may well not have. Well, the way it looks, he probably didn't. But again, I reiterate, what happened to all those female wrestlers from NXT who stuck up for him? Why aren't they fired? When a microphone was in their face and they said, do you think Matt Riddle would have done this? And they said, oh, I don't think so. I mean, that they were kind of dating, you know, behind his wife's back and stuff, and we knew that, but they seemed like a good, you know, happy couple when she was around constantly, and Matt Riddle's not the type of guy that's going to force some girl to do something against her will. We've been friends. Oh, well, fire her. Fire that girl. She stuck up for Matt Riddle. How dare she? And that wasn't 20 years ago. That was just a few years ago. So this is way out of hand, folks. I don't know, Mike. I mean, what does this mean for Ric Flair and AEW? Do you think Tony Khan will now cancel this because he also wants to genuflect in front of the mob?
I hope not. You know, I hope not, because the rumors were that he was going to go and be the mouthpiece for Andrade, which would make sense. Andrade's engaged to his daughter, of course, and it would make sense. It would be logical for him to do that, right? You know, and it would help Andrade immensely, you know. So, yeah, I hope that Tony Khan doesn't genuflect. I mean, look, the WWE genuflected when they fired Enzo, right? Now, maybe you can make the argument that they fired Enzo for other reasons, but after that came out, I mean, those other reasons were there before they came out, before this incident with Enzo, you know, came out, and they only fired him after, right? So.
Well, yes and no. I think Vince McMahon had basically said he didn't fire him for having this investigation taken place. He fired him for not telling him that there was an investigation taking place, which led to Vince McMahon getting a phone call from police he didn't know was coming. So Vince McMahon got very angry because he's like, what do you mean? Where are you going with this? I got a call from the police saying they're investigating him. He never told me this. So then when he calls Enzo into the office to say, what the hell? Enzo says, yes, I didn't tell you because it didn't happen and I was going to try to take care of it on my own. And from what I hear, Vince McMahon fired him because he didn't tell him. He didn't instantly come forward and say, this is what happened and nothing to worry about, I didn't do it.
Right. But, you know, my feeling is that was probably the icing on the cake, because he was generally considered to be a bad influence backstage. And, you know, we know that at times the WWE has had different things that were, let's say, poor PR moves by different wrestlers, right? And this was probably the latest one, and I don't know if he really cares or not, but again, like you said, it was probably the icing on the cake to why, you know, oh, you didn't tell me that this investigation was going on? Okay. If you don't feel confident enough in tell me to let me know that this call is possibly coming, then, yeah, I'm going to fire you.
Right, and of course, in Vince McMahon's mind, it could have been, well, you lied to me. Well, you didn't lie to me, but you withheld the truth from me that there's an investigation. How do I know you didn't do it? And if I stick by you now and it turns out you did, that's bad. So you got to go. I would say that's probably what happened. Before we get into a little bit about Rob Van Dam said about all this. Again, a warning that some of this is going to get a little bit graphic, but Todd, what do you think? You think Tony Khan may reconsider now and not have Ric Flair come over as anticipated?
Well, like you said about Tony Khan in the past with Matt Castor when he suspended him for sensitive swearing, like sexual towards Julia Hart with the controversy with that. I don't think
right.
he would hire him as well.
I think the Ric Flair thing is off because Tony Khan is one of those people. And he's just going to say, oh, no, I can't. No, I couldn't possibly now. And I just, I'm really shocked at the amount of wrestling fans who are like, oh, this is terrible. Well, let me get into some things here. I'm not going to give the person's name, but for several years, I was very good friends with a woman who was very in the know backstage at wrestling events. I met her online, believe it or not. I met her online at a ticket buying, and she was being harassed by someone, and I kind of stepped in. And from that point forward, she was very, we were very close. I talked to her almost on a weekly basis. And every wrestling event I went to that was in the Northeast, she was there. She introduced me to many wrestlers. She took me backstage. She was the person who gave me Scott Levy's phone number, Raven. She introduced me to a ton of wrestlers. All of which instantaneously said, if you're a friend of hers, you're cool. Including New Jack, some other people. She told me what went on behind the scenes. And Rob Van Dam has come out with a statement basically saying, I hate to be the one to say it's true, but the truth is, when I broke into the business, guys were drugging women so they could have their way with them backstage. Now, what this flashes up is, oh, you want to come backstage and meet your favorite wrestler? That's great. Here, have a little drink, honey, and oh, there's drugs in it, and when she passes out, we're just going to rape her. That didn't happen. That is not true. What happened is they would have huge parties where everyone knew there was going to be drugs. Everyone knew there was going to be booze. Everyone was mixing everything with everyone. And the truth of the matter is, there were some people who were so inebriated, they probably couldn't say yes or no. And there were some people so inebriated, they didn't know what they did with the woman or which woman they did it with. But to allude to they were drugged against their will as if they were kidnappers, that's not true. Because she told me about how many women would go backstage, that to a certain extent, you'd get phased out because they said, well, we have enough people. We can't have any more people back here. You had to be early at the door to get into the party because so many women were trying to get into the party. These women very clearly knew there was going to be drugs, alcohol, and sex. They may have only wanted to have sex with a certain guy, but as the night drove on and drugs and alcohol mixed, things happened. My point is this. No one was an innocent victim of, I was drugged and I didn't even want to be drugged. That's not true. And I don't care what Rob Van Dam says. That's not true. Now, he's going to say, well, I didn't say that. We drugged women, meaning we supplied them with the drugs. Well, there's a little bit of difference there, isn't there? And I got a newsflash for you. And again, I will not mention the person's name, but you'll probably be able to figure it out. I remember this person, my friend, going up to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania she didn't go with me, but we met each other there at Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania to watch an ECW show where she was the most popular person there because she was handing out pain pills to several of the wrestlers who knew she was coming and knew she had them. hardly being drugged against your will. I asked her one time. I said, you know, backstage, there's not like underage girls or girls who really don't want to be there. And she said, oh, of course not. There's so many people that want to be there. Why would you have the ones that don't? And these wrestlers aren't going to be, you know, these underage girls, that's not going to happen. Now, we know what happened with the underage ring boys and stuff, and that's why I asked. Now, she was friends with many of the ECW wrestlers. She was friends with many of the WCW wrestlers. She was friends with many of the WWE wrestlers. I met many, many wrestlers through her. Many of them. I sat backstage at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center with one member of a then WWE tag team talking wrestling, only because she said, let me go get my friend because he'd like to talk to you. She knew what she was talking about. And she, unfortunately, is deceased. But she told me in no uncertain circumstances, I've never been, ever one time, even in the wildest parties that had cocaine and meth and everything you could think of in it, I've never one time been backstage where a girl who legitimately did not want to be there was there. Or legitimately did not know what was going to happen when they got into the hotel room parties. Everyone knew. Now, that does not mean, I know there's going to be people who say, well, let's say a girl came because she liked this certain guy, and then she got drugged out of her mind, and other guys took advantage of her. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. But at some point, there is some responsibility to say, maybe I won't snort myself full of cocaine until I can't determine who the hell is even on top of me. Maybe there is some thought to the fact that maybe I won't drink and mix pills until I don't even know what girl I'm doing it with. But you can't jump off a mountain head first and break your neck and then blame the mountain. So I think Rob Van Dam's done the industry a little harm here, and I think he needs to reevaluate what he said. And if he wants to clarify it and say, I don't mean we drugged them secretly. I don't mean we slipped them a Mickey. I don't mean that innocent fans got drugged, thrown into the back of a van, took to a hotel room, abused, and then dumped out onto the street. Then maybe that will be okay. Because I think what Rob Van Dam meant to say is, there were wild drug parties. Now, I'm sorry if I'm telling you guys there's no Santa Claus. But back then, a large amount of your heroes, a large amount, participated in this type of stuff. Weekly, if not nightly, sometimes. And a large percentage of them grew up and said, you know, we had those wild times, but now we got to chill. We got to be more careful. We're living in a different era. And there was a few guys that didn't participate in that kind of stuff. There was a few guys who didn't go to the hotel parties. There were a few guys who did go up to their hotel room and hang out by themselves or go to the bar and hang out and not participate in this. Yes, there were. But a good amount of those people, unfortunately, participated in stuff like that. And for the benefit of people who don't know, the wrestlers weren't politically correct at the time, and they called them ring rats. There used to be an actual website. This is how innocent the women are. Because I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the women have no blame in this. There was a site called ringrats.com in which all the ring rats would get together and talk about this guy sucks in bed, this guy was really good, how big this guy's genitals are, where they encountered this guy, what kind of sex this guy was in, should I go for this guy? Well, he's not as good as his tag team partner. A whole freaking website. That doesn't sound like victims. So, I'm not saying that this woman is not a victim. I'm not saying that there couldn't be victims. We know there were victims in the Ring Boy scandal, don't we? We know there are victims in other cases. I'm not saying this woman is not a victim. What I am saying is there's no proof. And to fire a man from his current job or to pull commercials that he's in just because someone said something, I think is going a little bit too far. I noticed that on Dark Side of the Ring, they didn't press her and say, you got anybody that can corroborate that story? Anybody see that happen? Can I have some names of some people who were there with you that you told, immediately told, guess what just happened to me? Because I got news for you. If I were a woman and that happened to me, the very first thing I'd do is I'd go tell somebody that wasn't one of the wrestlers. I'd tell the captain or the pilot. I'd tell the people backstage in the kitchen. I'd tell whatever. Do you know what just happened to me? The minute this plane lands, I'm going to the police. That's what I would do. I know I'm going to get to, you're a misogynist and you don't take allegations seriously. Yes, I do. But I'll tell you what else I take seriously. I take seriously guilty only if it can be proven. Innocent until proven guilty, correct? That's what I take seriously. So some guy comes over and says, I didn't ever give her no drugs. She willingly came to my hotel room and did X, Y, and Z. And I say, well, listen. There's drugs in her system. You're a liar. You're a liar. I don't automatically just believe him and say, okay, then the woman's a liar. See, truth is not a gender. A man can be telling the truth and a woman can be telling the truth. A man can be evil and a woman can be evil. My personal opinion, which I will not be fired for, is I don't think she's telling the truth. There's too many holes in the story and too much time went by and the anger wasn't there enough. Let me go to the phones. Caller, are you there?
It is me. What's up, Marcus?
What's happening?
Hey, listen, I watched that Dark Side of the Ring, actually, last night. I caught it a little late. But, you know, I'm not saying the woman's not a victim. Yeah, okay, I'm not saying nothing happened. I'm sure something did, but I'm sure she wasn't a willing participant. So if she wants to come out 20 years later and tell her story, after she got a nice, magnificent payoff from the WWE, if she was serious about these allegations, she would have been like, no, I want justice because this happened and I feel violated, right? It was back in a time where it was, you know, coming off the Wild Wild West era of the 90s and early 2000s. And Tommy Dreamer even said, I've been backstage with, or not backstage, but at an area where Ric Flair was there. He never did anything of that nature, no pun intended, on several occasions, he said. So too much time has passed for her to just come out now and be interviewed and go, oh, and Scott Hall did this to me. Come on. I doubt it. 20 years? You wait 20 years? She just wanted to get her face in the
key. Even if they did. See, here's the thing. I can't go into – here's the how I feel anyway. If I know that a band is having a party and I know they're the biggest cokeheads in the world and I say, I'm going to go to that party because there's going to be some hot girls there. And I go to that party and it's raided. I can't say, oh, I'm a victim. They got me here saying there's going to be some nice girls and cookies and ice cream. And then they pulled out cocaine. That's not true. I knew what was going to be there, whether I participated in it or not. Well, I got news. If you go backstage and you say, yeah, I'm going to hook up with the wrestlers at their hotel. Now, this woman didn't do that. It's on a plane. But I'm talking about what Rob Van Dam's saying. I'm going to hook up with a party with a bunch of wrestlers at their hotel room. My friend telling me sometimes 25 people in one hotel room. You don't know what's going to go on there? You don't have a vague notion of what the hell's going to happen? I don't believe that. I don't. Sorry. As far as this woman, the stewardess, is concerned, what would have stopped her then? I'm always hearing the following. Women are just as empowered as men. Okay, well, if a man did that to me, let's say he was gay. If a man came up to me totally naked and tried to put my hand on his penis, I would punch him so hard in the nut that he would still, after the 20 years, be laying in the cockpit of that plane trying to gather his breath. Why didn't she do that? Why didn't she give him a swift kick and tell him, don't you ever do that to me again? Who the hell do you think you are? And then that ends that, right? Now, I have sympathy for people who say I was overpowered. Somebody just grabbed me from behind, threw me down. They're 10 times more powerful than me and ripped my clothes. I get that. That's rape. But some idiot exposing himself to you, if you don't like it, kick him in the friggin' nuts. Then go tell the pilot. And guess what? The pilot could literally say, look, you either get this idiot under control or we're landing the plane somewhere else, and that's it. That's all. By the way, this isn't a commercial flight. It wasn't like there was 14 stewardesses on it. I think there was just her, maybe two. So at some point, Mike, listen, wrestling was a dirty business, just like the music business. Backstage parties and stuff got wild, really wild. And if you're now going to, in hindsight, say we have to apply the same rules that we have today on 20 years ago, that doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? If that happened today, you could say, well, this is outrageous, and I guess it's uncalled for, and I guess it's actionable. This was 20 years ago when times were different. You can't apply today's rules to 20 years ago.
Right. And think about it this way, okay? Let's compare this situation to something that happened back in the 1990s. Everybody knows the Juanita Broderick story with Bill Clinton. What
right.
happened in that story? I don't want to get into a little details, but basically they met in a hotel room or around a hotel or whatever. He made some unwanted advances to her, ended up biting her on the lip and all that stuff. Basically, damage was done to her physically, and she did. I guess she punched him and did whatever. But what happened after that? She goes to her husband and to her best friend almost hours after that, and tells them what happened. That's what
right.
you do. And then I think the next day she went to the cops with it, but and I don't know what happened there, but that's what you do. You go and you tell people. You don't wait. You don't wait and have either people question your details or you don't wait and have people question your details. For instance, the other situation I'm thinking about is what they tried to do to one of our Supreme Court justices.
Right.
With the,
Kavanaugh.
Judge Kavanaugh. You know, and they bring him in, and they're going through this, and they bring this lady in, and she said, well, he raped me 20 years ago in high school or whatever it was. And it's like, okay, prove it. Well, how'd you get there? How'd you get home? Who'd you tell? And she couldn't give the details, you know? That's where we are right now. She is, this lady, whoever it is Blasey Ford. She's not speaking out enough, and she doesn't have the details correctly. I mean, for instance.
Yeah,
if,
you're right.
If
and
you're
listen,
talking
here's
about
the thing, Mike. I believe he probably exposed himself. I believe he was an idiot, got drunk, took off his clothes, ran around that airplane like an idiot, and probably she saw it. Is that a classy thing to do? No, it's not. Is that sexual abuse? No, it's not. No, it's not. Just seeing someone naked is not sexual abuse. Otherwise, if I walk into a sauna And I'm somebody who's going to keep my towel on and somebody else doesn't have their towel on. Oh, well, that's sexual abuse. I know they're going to say, well, we didn't expect to see it on an airplane. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that when you see a streaker, everyone who sees that streaker is not doesn't automatically have a sexual abuse charge against that streaker. Indecent exposure is one thing, but it's not sexual abuse. A streaker runs through a subway train. Every single person on that subway train can't say, I'm suing for sexual abuse. That's the difference, Tom.
Yeah, and I mean, it's getting ridiculous now, honestly. I mean, you know, it's the same thing that happened to Enzo. It's the same thing that happened to Kobe Bryant. I'll go a little further. R. Kelly. You know, all these people.
R. Kelly was probably guilty because not only did he tape it, but they were underage. So I'd leave R. Kelly out of that equation because he's pretty much. He said, I didn't do it, but videos exist. So, you know, but the bottom line is, I don't think Ric Flair is a guy who necessarily has to force himself on a female. And if he was drunk and trying to be funny or stupid or whatever, yeah, that's dumb. It's indecent exposure. Fine. Say, you know, then file charges of indecent exposure. But don't fire Tommy Dreamer for saying I don't think he's the type of guy to do it. Because that's ludicrous. Anyway, the stories would shock you that this woman told me. And you can judge her and say whatever you want about her, but the bottom line of the situation was she was actually a very down-to-earth, nice person. She just had her one hang-up was she liked wrestlers. And she was willing to do whatever backstage. Simple as that. And she told me a lot of the stuff, and a lot of it's not good, but at the same time, she never portrayed herself or anyone there as a victim. She said, everyone knows. I mean, we fight with each other over it. Well, you're not getting in there tonight, but hey, oh, yes, I am. Blah, 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 blah. The girls would fight amongst themselves. So was it a squeaky, clean business? Hell no. It was terrible. Some of the things she described to me, I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I think New Jack actually came up with one where he said he thought Balls Mahoney was dead, or Balls Mahoney thought a girl was dead, and he was taking her out into the lawn to bury her because he thought she was dead, that she died in the hotel room of overdose. And it turns out she wasn't dead. There was a story circulating like that, and I think New Jack backed it up, that Balls Mahoney thought he killed some girl. Bottom line is, folks, it's a two-way street. If this girl's really a victim, then you have to prove it. You have to prove it. Anyway, I want to get on to what Tony Khan said, because Tony Khan gave a statement that I thought it kind of amused me in a way. He said, currently, as we stand right now, AEW has the best roster of any wrestling federation in the world. That's not close to true. That's not close to true. Now, if he wants, it hits his opinion, so he can give his opinion. But the bottom line is, if he's saying as far as ring talent, it's still not true. If he's saying as far as draw power, it's definitely not true. If he's saying as far as name recognition, that's also definitely not true. And I know that on, I guess it was Dave Meltzer who had made a statement kind of backing that up, saying, well, Kenny Omega would outdraw like a Randy Orton. And whose planet? Whose planet are you living on? I promise you that if tomorrow you went to a convention and Kenny Omega and Randy Orton is signing autographs, I'm going to tell you who the biggest line's going to be for. By a lot. By a lot. So that's not true. Right now, the WWE is in a position where their athletes are so famous as far as household name that, as we said once on this show, if you went around and asked people, do you know who Kenny Omega is? A good amount of people is going to say, no, I do not. I really don't. But if you ask someone who is Brock Lesnar, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Even if they don't watch, they know. Now, I'm not saying that Brock Lesnar's a better in-ring worker than Kenny Omega. I'm just telling you that he's more well-known. Go ask someone, do you know who Darby Allin is? No. Okay. You know who Roman Reigns is? Yeah, they probably do. So the name recognition factor, it's not close. It's not close. And this is the thing that Tony Khan has to try to avoid, because when he says dumb stuff like this, then what he does is he isolates his audience, because then we're getting into Republican-Democrat, aren't we? We're getting into your side's evil and my side's great. And it ain't supposed to be that way. How come I can't like both? How come Tony Khan has to tell me, if you're watching WWE, you're watching a second class compared to mine? Let me make that decision. You let me make that decision. I don't need you to make that decision for me. I can watch and tell you which I enjoy the most. And by the way, wouldn't the ratings prove it? If you have the greatest wrestling federation, you're a million short of reaching WWE's numbers, especially for SmackDown. So that doesn't really hold water, Todd. And I think Tony Khan should just concentrate and put on his show and stop this nonsense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, who will draw more, Randy Orton or Kenny Omega? Well, I'm going to say the same thing with you. I'm going to say Randy Orton draws more than Kenny Omega because he's a bigger name and has a bigger, more of a fan base.
Yeah, he's more of a follower. Listen, there is no doubt, Mike, that if these two guys had an autograph signing across town from each other, I know where the biggest crowd's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about it this way also. You know, Randy Orton, everybody knows who Randy Orton is. Right? You know, who's Randy Orton? Well, he works for the WWE. He's a famous wrestler. And because of that, people are start. Because of that, basically, Riddle's getting the rub. You know? People are starting to know who Riddle is because of Randy Orton. And that's another good example. If you got a guy who nobody knows of, and then you stick him with a guy who everybody knows, and the guy that nobody knows is starting to get known more, then what are you supposed to say?
Right. And again, you even have the past guys. See, the AEW does not have the luxury of having any past superstars. So we still have The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena and The Undertaker and people who are still once in a blue moon getting the ring. Not so much Austin, but The Rock and Cena and maybe even The Undertaker. Those are household names. You don't have anything close to approaching that. Not close. Not yet. To hear Tony Khan talk, he's just a little over a year into the Federation, and he has all of the top names in the world. It's just not true. And again, this divides them, because I see so many WWE fans who would normally watch AEW turned off by this, Tom, and say, all right, well, if that's his attitude, F him, I'm not watching his Federation. I think he's doing himself more damage than good.
He really did. I agreed 100%. He really did himself a disservice by just opening his mouth. I mean, are you going to say, you know, remember back when we went to a convention, I think it was in North Jersey, and there was Edge, Kane, Edge and Kane both, and across the street, there was Sable and Val Venus. Were people running across the street to go get their autograph? No. They're like, oh, well, you know, if there's time, I'm going to wait in line for, you know, Kane and Edge. But if there's time, I'll go over there, of course. They weren't running. I didn't know who Kenny Omega was. I thought he was another type of vitamin. I thought he was like number four, Kenny Omega 4 with fish oil. I didn't know who the hell Kenny Omega was. And to say Randy Orton will be outdrawn by Kenny Omega, come on. AEW is strict. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and, you know, this is just my opinion. So AEW, to me, is unwatchable. It's unwatchable. You got the biggest draw power. Why? Because you got CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. You just signed some chump that happens to think that he's like God's gift to wrestling. And you just signed Daniel Bryan, who great wrestler, great worker, and he gets the business. But if you think Darby, you know, like, oh, okay, CM Punk versus Darby Allin, is Darby Allin beating CM Punk? Of course not. So why would I want to watch that? Why would anybody want to watch it? Hey, because it's good wrestling. Yeah, flippity-floppity, out of the ring, flippity-floppity, flippity-floppity, and match over. Great.
Here's the thing about AEW. AEW could be a good federation if they didn't have the attitude that you're either with us or against us. I don't understand that attitude. The attitude should be, we're offering a different federation with different ideas, different styles of wrestling. We hope you enjoy it as well as WWE. We hope that you watch both and we hope that we can help entertain wrestling fans, whether we are your top federation or we're your second or third or fourth. What we really care about is that you still watch us, you still give us your attention, and hopefully we can do as good as we can and win you over. That's sort of what their attitude should be. Instead, their attitude is, WWE fans aren't really intelligent wrestling fans. They don't know. They don't know real wrestling. They don't know what real wrestling is. So if you're a WWE fan, you say, okay, well, if that's your attitude, if you're basically telling me I'm stupid because I don't happen to think CM Punk is God's gift to wrestling, then I just won't watch you. You can't insult your fan base. That's a mistake. And it's a huge mistake. Because then people won't watch just out of stubbornness. I'd much rather see Tony Khan have the attitude of, I love the WWE. I mean, that's what I grew up watching, right? That's why I loved wrestling. And I don't have anything against the WWE. There's room for more federations, in my opinion. Let's just all have fun. And I hope that all the WWE fans out there will also tune into AEW. And I hope AEW fans tune into WWE, because the more the better. All that does is make more jobs for more wrestlers, more time for the fans to watch. Fans can make their own decision which one they like the most. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who like us the most, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who like them the most. That's not a problem. Just keep watching both, though. That would be a great thing for him to say. Instead, he always has to poke the bear, Mike, and he always has to say, we're better, and if you're not, don't think so, you're not a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. Well, this got to stop.
It does have to stop, and that's the thing. If you just shut up and just plug along, it seems like his ratings are getting better and better. It seems like even on Friday nights, those ratings are starting to come up. And if you just shut up and let it just grow and, and within the next 2 years, maybe he gets up to 1.5 or 1.6 on Wednesday. And maybe he gets up to 900,000, 950,000 on Fridays, You never know. So, yeah. And as far as being known, think about it this way. Asuka comes to the WWE, and she's just your run-of-the-mill wrestler, right?
Right.
And run-of-the-mill Japanese wrestler. Well, she does what she does, and she becomes known. She becomes well-known that in 2019, or a little bit earlier than that, she starts up her YouTube channel, and she's got 400,000 watches on her YouTube channel, and several thousand people, tens of thousands of people were following her. That's how well-known she's become, because she's been in the WWE.
Right. The WWE's machine, as far as publicity, is second to none, absolutely second to none. And Tony Khan's not matching that right now. Anyway, we did want to also talk about SmackDown because, you know, someone had wrote to me talking to me about the fact that they didn't like Becky Lynch as a heel. And they said, I realize why they did it, though, because they don't really have a good heel. They don't really have a good female heel. Carmella's not a good female heel. She's not a credible threat. There's no credible threat to Bianca Belair. And I said to myself, why the hell did you not do this with Naomi? Why the hell did you not bring Naomi over? Hook her up with the Roman Reigns Brotherhood. Have her come out, read her the Riot Act, because then you would have gotten some interesting matches with the Street Profits and her against Naomi and the Usos. You would have had Paul Heyman technically sort of managing a woman. You would have had a very good heel. And probably the two most athletic women. I know Charlotte Flair is very athletic too. But two of the most athletic women in WWE going at each other for an extended period of time. Tom, that should have wrote itself. And you could have Becky Lynch in the shadows as still being a face, waiting to see, you know, who picks the bones of this feud. And I just think you could have done both and gotten away with it. Instead, it looks like they're kind of slow rolling Naomi into that, and they could have done this instantaneously.
Yeah, and you know, truth be told, a few weeks ago at SummerSlam, I thought that's what really was going to, right after SummerSlam anyway, I thought really that's what was going to happen. I knew Becky Lynch was coming back, and the fans lost their mind, and she, you know, she pinned Bianca Belair, and that was that. It's like, okay, well, where do you go from here? It was exactly what you just said. I really thought WWE was rolling in that direction. And to my you know, I can't really say much to my surprise, because they always have the carrot dangling over them, and they always manage to just, you know, miss it.
Yeah, this is a big miss, though, because no matter what anybody says, who's next for Becky Lynch if she retains the belt? I don't know. Sasha Banks coming back? Is that going to be a big deal? Naomi instantaneously coming out and taking the Becky Lynch spot. No, you wouldn't have got that big pop. But, man, it would have been interesting. Because then, of course, you could have had the Street Profits come out, the Usos come out. They're already in a feud. Now you've got the feud times 10, Todd. I would have thought that would have wrote itself.
I mean, absolutely with you, like you said about Naomi this past week. I thought she was going to come back as a heel, but she came, confronted a heel, Sonya, a GM type official, Sonya Deville, wanting to be on the show.
Yeah, I think she could still be a heel, but I just think, Mike, that she should have that spot right now that Becky Lynch has, quite frankly. I think Naomi should have been the one to, if not dethrone her, at least come out and start the feud, so we could have had this Usos, Naomi versus the Street Profits and Bianca war going on.
And Ryan, what have we said about Naomi for a while, that she's not particularly good on the mic. You know, and what would remedy that at? Put her with Paul Heyman.
Right.
You know, put her with Paul Heyman and have her learn how to be on the mic under Paul Heyman, to where when Paul Heyman eventually turns on, and you know it's going to happen, he's going to turn on Roman Reigns and his crew, to where when Paul Heyman eventually turns on them, then, you know, she can either become a manager or whatever and help them out, you know. And that's the thing. Look, they've missed out on so many things that series of matches between Naomi and Bianca Belair, I mean, talk about highly, highly athletic matches. I mean, there would be some enjoyable matches.
They really would be. See, that's the thing. You have it right there in front of your face. And you still have Becky Lynch. I'm not saying don't bring back Becky Lynch. Absolutely do. But you could get her involved in a side feud, you know, heading up to whoever's going to be the champion. I would imagine you would promote Naomi, right? So I imagine what you would do is eventually Naomi does, in fact, conquer Bianca Belair thanks to her association with the Usos and Roman and Paul Heyman. And it's a big mountain to climb where people say, well, I don't know who's going to beat Naomi with all this backup she's got and all this whatever she's got. Well, there's Becky Lynch, the lone person against the machine, you know. That's your perfect face character, and the fans would have loved. I mean, they wanted to root for Becky Lynch. I think this was a mistake, Tom.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake, too. I just think, you know, they could have gone a better way with it and should have put a little more thought. They have the people to keep that going and to draw interest, but they just dropped the ball. And again, this is something that the WWE is known for. They get a big pile of money that they can draw with, you know, a certain group of, you know, wrestlers and performers or what have you, and they just seem to drop the ball. I'll give you a good example. Elias.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a couple of vignettes with him, and we've yet to see what they're going to do in this rebirth of Elias. And it wasn't broke. See, that's the thing. You're fixing something that wasn't broke. Okay, Rick Boone shows up, and you're like, oh, we got another guy that we want to do the rock star thing with, so you got to change? I don't know. Now, a little bit on SmackDown. I have to tell you that I am, number one, SmackDown is my favorite out of the two shows. And I think they always do a better job. And I still say that Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, when they're together and they're doing their skits and they're talking back and forth, it's very compelling and it's very fun to watch. Now, here's some things that aren't going so well. I don't know where you're going with this Rey Mysterio thing. You're making Rey Mysterio out to be the bad guy. Is that what you want? I thought Dominic was going to turn on his father and be a little prick who thinks he knows everything, and Ray was going to have to teach him a hard lesson in life, and that's the way this angle was going to go. Instead, it appears that Ray is going to be this soccer mom, crazy, oh, my son is losing, I don't know what to do, and until it puts so much pressure on him that when he does actually turn on his father, Ray will be the bad guy. By the way, when you were doing the stuff where Ray was sort of interfering and in a way distracting Dominic and costing him the match, at least I got it. He didn't do that this week. Dominic just flat lost. I don't know where you're going with this angle. I'm pretty sure I don't like it. And then comes the second most horrible angle of the night. Number one, you just put Toni Storm in the Federation. She hasn't had but like one singles match. And now all of a sudden she's a tag team. I don't get it, because she's a much better solo performer. You hook her up with Liv Morgan. You're fighting Carmella. Carmella gets her nose broke, apparently, or pretends to get her nose broke. Zelina Vega has to run over to her and say, oh, keep it covered, keep it covered. Well, number one, that's very – what's the right word for it? That's a very misogynistic thing, and I'll tell you why. I know Carmella's character is supposed to be like, there goes my looks. But, I mean, Sheamus wrestled with blood gushing out of his nose and stuff. If you want to make these girls looking, you know, look like they're serious, she's got to wrestle through a broken nose, right? Now, I know she didn't really have one. I know that's the gimmick, but it makes her look weak. So she's out there saying, oh, no, oh, no. It was pretty pathetic. And then goes back to the dressing room and let me see. Oh, no, you're okay. Oh, okay. Well, I'm still pissed at her. Wow. Terrible, terrible angle. Terrible. Didn't even get the Happy Corbin KO match. I guess we'll probably get that at Extreme Rules or whatever. Kevin Owens is just finishing up. I'm telling you right now, you won't see Kevin Owens. I doubt you'll see Kevin Owens in a WWE ring much longer. I think he's just finishing up with the company. That's the way he looks anyway. And then we get, I guess we're going to have a rematch between Nakamura and Apollo. Nakamura's beat him like 9 times in a row. They've had like 9 matches. I don't know why you'd have a 10th. You beat him every single time. Now we're going to do this again? I think this week's SmackDown was really slipped a lot. Yes, the Roman Reigns part was good. Oh, by the way, the Finn Balor thing. Absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. This is why I hate this character. I don't summon the demon. The demon summons me. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, you sound really convincing because you're like the worst guy in the mic I ever heard. It sounds like somebody's doing a high school play. And then they put high school play special effects over it to make your face look like the demon. And that's supposed to do what again? It's supposed to psych you up? Or then why do you ever not put it on? It's just, God, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. I don't like any of this. And this week I liked Raw better than SmackDown by a considerable margin, Tom. And that almost never happens.
Yeah, I like Raw much better this week. I did not catch the first half hour of it, but I watched it back. I watched it back, a little later. But Raw, honestly, from beginning to end, was surpassed SmackDown by a long shot. And you're absolutely right about Finn Balor. Finn Balor's character is not believable. It doesn't convince me of anything. If he wrestled differently or had different expressions or whatever with the demon paint on, then it would be okay, then it should maybe change my mind. But Finn Balor still looks like he has a freaking colitis. He's a jack-o'-lantern with colitis. Honestly, I don't know how else to describe him. He doesn't convince me of anything. He's not even a good wrestler.
He probably is a good wrestler. He's just not – he got lazy and he's just doing what he does now. I'll do my 5 moves. I'll do the drop kick into the corner. I'll do the stomp. I'll do the 5 things I do. That's what he does now. The thing is, you're right, he doesn't do anything different as the demon. If he didn't do any of those moves, if he said, when I come out as this, I'm a totally different wrestler. He's much more violent, more hardcore. He uses weapon, tables and chairs and – stuff, you'd say, okay, well, this is different. That's what Mick Foley did. He didn't come out and be any one of his 3 characters and have exact same thing. He didn't wrestle as Mankind the way he wrestled as Dude Love. He just didn't. And he really didn't wrestle as either one of them the way he wrestled as Cactus Jack. A few similarities, but you knew which one was like the hardcore badass. You knew which one was the crazy, psychopathic one, and you knew which one was the peace-loving, more wrestling one. There were definitely differences. There is no difference in the Finn Balor character. He does the same moves in the same order, the same way, whether it's Finn Balor or the demon, so it doesn't make any difference. And he isn't a good enough actor to sell it. That's the other thing. He's not a good enough actor to sell it. So, Todd, I really didn't care so much for SmackDown this week. I thought it dropped the ball.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with the Finn Balor thing, him doing the demon. It's the same thing. It's the same moves and everything. Like, come on. He should look in the Cactus Jack's playbook. He used a different personality, different moves when Mick Foley did the Three Faces Foley thing.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, the only thing I really liked this week, honestly, on SmackDown, the seeing Kane was cool. And having Bianca Belair back in her hometown getting acknowledged was pretty cool. And the Becky Lynch thing was okay. But other than that, it was just the Roman Reigns stuff that held me together. The rest of this stuff felt just like a bad Raw.
Right, and I think about it this way. I think of the 3 WWE the shows this week, SmackDown was number three. I even like NXT 2.0 better than SmackDown this week. That's the thing. Think about it this way. The whole thing with the broken nose and all that stuff, did Becky, when Nia Jax broke her face, did Becky Lynch run to the back and say, oh, I need stitches? No. She stayed out there, and it made her look incredibly strong when she did it.
You're right, and here's the thing. I know people are going to say, well, Becky Lynch really got hit. Carmella didn't. I get it. And Carmella's character is, oh, my looks, my looks, my looks. I get that, too. But at the same time, just pulling this angle where a female worker abandons a match because she may have had her nose broken when it wasn't even really cheapens the whole federation. How do we take Carmella seriously from now on? What, you're going to break a fingernail and say, oh, that's it, call the match off? Nobody could be serious about wrestling then. You can't be serious. So I think that was a bad thing to do. Also, making Rey Mysterio the, you know, proverbial soccer mom was a bad thing to do. You had the better storyline with Dominic getting frustrated because he's not as good as his father right away, taking it out on his father, getting some heat with the crowd because they love Rey, and eventually saying, you know, he's ungrateful, he's a brat, he's this and that, he's not as talented as his dad, and you get into the point where you're going to have a match against your son. That's pretty cool. This isn't going to work. Having us root for Dominic, saying, yeah, Ray's annoying, it's not going to, that's terrible. That's a terrible idea. Just terrible. Now, it's kind of cool that Big E came over, and now next week, I guess we're going to see Roman Reigns come over to Raw, right? And we got Raw, the Usos against the New Day. So, and well, Usos and Roman Reigns against the New Day and Big E. That'll be interesting. That's kind of cool. I guess they've forgotten the brand split thing anymore. They're just like, whatever. We can go wherever we want, whenever we want. Whatever. They always do this. The draft is coming up. And I've heard very strong rumors that Brock Lesnar is going to get drafted to Monday Night Raw. If this is the case, the WWE may have taken a step backwards and said, is there a way we can get out of Saudi Arabia with Brock Lesnar not really losing, but Roman Reigns still being the champion? Well, of course there is. You can do a disqualification, double count out, whatever you want to do. And maybe we can work a situation by which Paul Heyman is managing Brock Lesnar on Raw and Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Maybe we can do that. Now, MVP is out for a little while. Maybe when they come back, they're going to do this switch with Bobby Lashley, where Lashley's the face. And maybe we're going to get Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley. I'd love to see it. Now, if that's where this goes and Brock Lesnar dethrones Big E, Paul Heyman controls both the belts, MVP comes back with Bobby Lashley as more of a face-oriented characters. I think you got something there, Mike. I'd much rather see that than a one-off with Roman Reigns.
And what have we said about the whole dynamic between MVP and Paul Heyman? I mean, we talk about the promos we get out of those two guys. We kind of got the whole shtick from Paul Heyman, which we haven't seen in a while, which is always a good idea with Brock Lesnar, the whole shtick that he does with Brock Lesnar, the reigning, defending, all that stuff, world champion, which is kind of a – he didn't say the reigning, defending, universal champion. No, he said the reigning, defending – WWE champion. So that kind of tells you where they're trying to go with this thing. If he's saying WWE champion instead of the other champion, you know, even though he hadn't held a championship yet, even though, you know, if he's doing that whole shtick, that tells me that what you're saying is going to happen. It's probably going to happen. They're going to pull something where he doesn't. He's not. He may not even show up in Saudi Arabia, Brock Lesnar.
I mean, they got that possibility of getting them together later. They could always fight each other later. The only thing that makes me think they're not going to do it, Mike, is they had Paul Heyman say that he thinks Brock Lesnar's afraid of Roman Reigns. I don't know why he would ever say that if he's going to manage Brock Lesnar again. That would be dumb. Because then you'd say, well, why would Brock Lesnar take back a manager who just said he was afraid of Roman Reigns? The minute I heard that line, I said, they're not going to do it. And they should have. But this is definitely what they should do. Those guys should wrestle to a double count out, double disqualification, a draw, whatever you can get out of them in Saudi Arabia. Brock Lesnar should be drafted. Paul Heyman saying, well, he's out of your hair forever now, but I am going to manage him on Raw. In no way changes my duty to you. You would have the best of both worlds. It's a no-brainer. And you could still get to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar down the road if that's what you really wanted to do. So, again, it's a no-brainer. And you'd have that whole storyline of, well, you're spending too much time with Lesnar. No, you're spending too much time with Roman Reigns. There'd be that interesting dynamic. But I think they see Brock Lesnar as their new, like, big-time face. And I'm not sure that's going to work either. And if they just say, well, he's going to get drafted to Raw, and he's going to go after a heel Bobby Lashley, I don't know. I don't think that's going to work as good as Paul Heyman being there and the whole dynamic between Paul Heyman and MVP and all that stuff, Todd. I think that would be an integral part of that feud.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, a face Bobby Lashley and a heel Brock Lesnar, I would like to see that.
Yeah, so would I. I think that's the direction they need to go in, but we'll see what they plan. I just was a little bit alarmed, Mike, when he was giving Roman Reigns the old Brock Lesnar fears you talk, because that made me think that my prediction was not going to come true.
Well, I mean, look, they could be. And now, do the WWE has the ability to pull off a kind of a bait and switch here in what they did? But, yeah, they used to do it all the time. I mean, we hardly ever liked it. But in this case, a good bait and switch would kind of fit, would kind of be logical, because we don't want to see this. I particularly don't want to see Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar right now. Right now, I don't want to see it. All right? Now, down like a year down the line, sure, I'll go for it, especially if it's like champion versus champion, you know?
Agreed. I mean, that's the thing, Mike, that bothers me with the WWE. And I know some AEW fans had said, well, that bothers me about WWE too, is they're always going for the big match right away. They don't let it simmer. Well, AEW does it too, because, I mean, Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega is the big match right away, right? You didn't let that simmer. So AEW is guilty of it too, but WWE does do that. And Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns should have simmered and simmered and simmered. This is something you could have kept going with a tremendous amount of interest of who Paul Heyman's real loyalty is to, because Brock doesn't want to work much, so he's not going to show up every week. So he shows up 1 week and Paul Heyman seems to be a little bit sympathetic to him. And then 3 weeks he doesn't show up and Paul Heyman's like, no, I don't want nothing to do with Brock Lesnar. And he shows up again and maybe I do. There's so much you could do there. And I do think they went for the big match too soon. This is the big match. Had I had booked this match, as God is my witness, I would have booked it exactly as I told you I would have booked it. It would have looked as though there was going to be a collision. Paul Heyman would have been honest with Roman Reigns and said, I manage him too. I don't want you two to fight. It's counterproductive to me. And have finally Brock Lesnar say, you know, Paul deep down inside knows I'd tear you apart. And you know deep down inside I'd tear you apart. But he wants me to go to Raw and be the champion there. And because Paul's my friend and he could manage both champions, I think I'm going to go do that. If you had that dynamic and then eventually down the road, you let that simmer and simmer until both of these guys are bad-mouthing each other on both shows, name-dropping each other constantly, out trying to outdo each other constantly, and then eventually you had that moment where they're going to fight, and add it to this, make it an I Quit match and say somebody's got to throw in the towel, and you have Roman Reigns say, well, I'm handing the towel to Paul Heyman. He's always been straight up with me, and I believe in him. And then you have Brock Lesnar do the same. Say, I got no problem with that, Paul. You can have my towel, too. Boy, does that put Paul Heyman in a situation, huh? And boy, would fans say, oh, my God, what's he going to do? He's going to throw in the towel on one of these guys. One of these guys he's going to throw the towel in on. How is this going to work? Mike, that's where the big money would have been and the big buildup, in my opinion.
And what would have made it even more is that we know that Brock Lesnar isn't going to be here any appreciable amount of time, right? So we know,
right.
We probably know how that would have ended up with Paul throwing in Brock's towel, and then Brock goes away for a while, and Brock comes back and says, "Hey, Paul, why'd you throw in my towel?"
Yeah.
You know?
And again, and you would right, and you would have had a regular – see how much more you could have got out of it, Mike? Because then you'd had another match. You could have pulled some ridiculous thing where one of the Usos hit Paul Heyman and it knocked the towel into the ring. Accidentally collided with Paul Heyman, and boop, there goes the towel in. And he could say, oh, Brock, I never threw in the towel. It got knocked in the ring. And okay, well, we still got another match to go then. There was a good year's worth of material here, and the WWE went for Saudi Arabia as quick as lightning. I just don't get it. I hate when they do that. And AEW fans are right when they say they do it all the time. They sure as hell do it all the time, and it's very frustrating. And I hope AEW does not copy that, because they're traditionally they built those matches up. And now I'm starting to see them do it. Bryan Danielson against Kenny Omega right away like this, I'd have rather seen a build and a much bigger and a much better build, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in Saudi Arabia too, because this is a very, I know the WWE has a contract and they got to fulfill it at some point, or if they can, but this is not a good time for Saudi Arabia either. Okay, because Saudi Arabia has been accused, and they say that documents might be coming out, that they helped harbor the people who planned 9/11 or helped to plan it. And now with everything that's going on in Afghanistan and all the tensions and everything there, this is probably not the best optics in the world, Mike, for WWE to hold a great big show there like everything's wonderful and happy.
Right, and to add to that, think about this. That whole area of the Middle East is in the throes of a spike with the CCP virus.
Very true. Yeah, I think this is ill-advised. I know they've got an obligation, but you could put it off for a little while and do something else. Now, I'm being told that Ring of Honor has said that they're not going to do any live shows with fans again, since I think they did one in recently, but they're not going to do one again until next year. So we've got September, October, November, December, 4 or 5 months before they do another live event. AEW, not so. WWE, not so, obviously. But Ring of Honor is taking it that seriously, saying we think that we don't want our guys touring right now or going anywhere right now. That's something. We don't even know where the country's going to be. in 2 months with all of these lockdowns and then mandates and vaccine mandates. And does the vaccine work? Does the vaccine not work? Should we force people to take it? Can we legally force people to take it? Does it matter if they take it? Are people still getting it after they take it? Nobody even knows. Nobody even knows. And leaving the country, I don't know if it's the greatest idea in the world. I don't know. I know these guys are going to be in their hotel room all by themselves, and they're going to be tested, and they're not going to be allowed out, and they're not going to come in contact with anybody. I know that. But still, I don't know if it's the greatest idea in the world. We're living in weird times, folks. We're living in weird times when a guy can be fired for giving his opinion, and yet you can go to a foreign country and wrestle that could potentially be wrought with virus. We're living in a time when you could just say, this guy did this to me, and automatically every single thing he's ever done doesn't matter anymore. It's all about, well, if you did this, you're dead. You have no more career. You have no more life. You have no more fans. You have no support. You're finished. And yet your government can tell you we have to stick you with a vaccine, and you have no choice. If you don't do that, you are fired. I don't know what's going to happen in the world, let alone the world of professional wrestling, because everything trickles down. And if suddenly the vaccine cards become you can't get into a wrestling event without them, I'm very curious to how that's going to work. I'm very curious to how the WWE is going to react, because their reaction could very well be, we better not hold any live events, too many of them, because it's going to be too much of a hassle. We're going to have people checking at the doors, and then and what happens if people bought tickets and then they're not vaxxed, and we got to refund the money on the tickets? It's going to be a tough thing. So we're going to have to see where the next few weeks take us and months. I do know this. Madison Square Garden was packed full of people. Boston Gardens was packed full of people. Yeah, some were wearing masks, some weren't wearing masks, some were probably vaxxed, some were probably not vaxxed. I haven't heard anything about major spikes taking place from it. It's been a couple of weeks. At least with Madison Square Garden, it has. So I don't know where this is going to go, Mike. It's kind of as the country goes, so will pro wrestling, and that's kind of what worries me.
And think about, here's something else to think about. NWA is now doing, they're not doing live, but they're doing live to tape, right?
Yeah.
And they've got crowds, does the NWA. Now, granted, they're not 10,000, 15,000 crowds, but they're you know, their usual crowds in their usual building, right? So it's not like everybody's not doing the crowd deal. They're basically, the NWA is basically packing them in, and this is even after it looks like Nick Aldis is going to maybe take some time off of television, right?
Yeah, but you know what the good news is there, Mike? And maybe it's not good news with everybody, but they're getting more attention because they made Tyrus their NWA North American champion, I believe. And from what I'm seeing, he carries the belt with him on his news broadcast. He's a pretty big-time news, well, not news, but opinion contributor on Fox News. And every time I see him, he's got that belt on his shoulder. That's advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
going to help
him. That's got to help. That's free advertising on a major, major network. Because people who go, you know, tune in to see him and say, oh, well, maybe I'll see, oh, I've never seen him wrestle. I'd like to see him wrestle. That's big. That's free advertising. Not to mention that Trevor Murdoch being the champion is also a really good idea. I think that it appeals to the NWA's crowd. NWA's coming along fine. You know, are they ever going to be AEW? No, probably not. They're certainly never going to be WWE. They'll be lucky to be Ring of Honor. But at the same time, they're not bad-mouthing anybody. They're just going around their business saying, hey, come watch us. Now, I know I promised to talk about some controversy. The SWE has said that Hannibal, who has a podcast on YouTube has lied about them, and that Hannibal was always the blood hunter. He lied about it to fans, saying he wasn't the blood hunter when he really was, and I guess he's lied about the organization, and they're saying he's acting in ill will. He's saying they're liars. I don't know who's telling the truth. I have no idea who's telling the truth. But I know that this feud has erupted, and I always suspected, of course, that Hannibal was, in fact, the blood hunter because, well, it was pretty obvious if you've seen him wrestle. Mike, I don't know if you continue to watch it, but I guess they're cutting back on some of their live things, and, you know, I guess they've given it over to Booker T, some of their buildings or something. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I do watch it when I get a chance, and that's how I know that Al Snow is kind of the de facto sort of general manager over there.
Yep. And that's also good publicity for them. So so we got NWA with some good publicity. We got the SWE with some good publicity. We got them with a little bad publicity, too, with this Hannibal feud. Again, I don't know how much traction that's going to get. I don't know how many people even know about it. I know that I was enjoying SWE, and then they sort of they've changed a little bit, no doubt. We'll see if they can bounce back on this. I do have some faith in the NWA. They present a different style of wrestling, no question, and it's a kind of cool style of wrestling. Todd, have you kept up with NWA at all?
I don't have the Fight Network on my Fire Stick.
Okay, you can get their stuff still. I think you can get it late on YouTube. I'm not sure if they still have that, but think you can. Anyway, folks, remember, let's calm down. Let's not make people guilty until they really are guilty. Let's not rush to say we have to side with the person who, you know, we feel is morally been wronged until you know they morally been wronged. It's not automatic, folks. It's never always automatic. Let's wait until all the facts come out. It's been 20 years. There's no more facts coming out on this case. So everyone's going to make their own decision. Is Ric Flair a sexual abuser who went too far with a woman on an airplane ride, or is he just a drunken dude who got drunk and disorderly? That choice is going to be yours, but regardless of how you feel, Tommy Dreamer did not deserve a suspension for simply saying, I don't know what happened, but it doesn't sound like something Ric Flair would do. And if we live in a world where that is grounds for suspension, I don't know if professional wrestling can even survive. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Tuesday. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.